Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the second season of Black Lightning. Now, this is one that we watched in a couple of different sittings over a little bit of a gap there near the end. And it was broken into a couple of different books with various chapters. And much like I had kind of expected them to do, they pulled in stuff from outside of just the Black Lightning comics themselves. Part of why I had expected that is his original run lasted, I'm going to say, either 7 or 11 issues. I forget which.
So there's limited source material.
Well, the original run happened in the 70s and was like just before the DC implosion, where a bunch of titles, some that were going, some that were just announced, just stopped. Okay, so it went for, you know, again, 7 or 11 issues. I forget exactly how long in the 70s. And then he showed up a few times here and there, like an issue of Justice League or something like that. But then really came kind of back to the forefront when Brave and the Bold ended, and that was the Batman team-up title, and got replaced by Batman and the Outsiders.
Okay.
So they introduced the Outsiders. Some were established characters, some were new characters. The established characters were obviously Batman, well-established, but Metamorpho and Black Lightning. And then they added new characters of Halo, Katana, and Looker came later. There was, Geoforce. Geoforce is something that gets indirectly referenced this season a lot. He was the either the prince or the king of Markovia.
Ah, got it.
And all this Markovia is doing metahuman experiments and stuff like that. Dr. Jace was one of the supporting cast members of the Outsiders run.
Okay.
So they're starting to pull in a lot of things from the Outsiders, including this season, The Masters of Disaster. We get Heatstroke, New Wave, Cold Snap, and I think it was Shakedown was the other one.
I think so.
And the other member of the Masters of Disaster who came later was Windfall, who is the Wendy character they've got here.
Got it.
But part of it is when you've got a character that didn't have a large body of solo adventures, or even if they did, didn't have really that many memorable villains. I mean, Tobias Whale is like the main one. He was, I don't want to say the Lex Luthor for Black Lightning, but the equivalent. You've got to start pulling in from outside of that. We've seen the same thing in Arrow, where they started pulling in a number of things from the new Teen Titans era and stuff, which Green Arrow was never a member of. But, you know, hey, you're doing a Batman riff, why not? And to a degree over in Supergirl and stuff, even over in Flash, and Flash has, since the dawn of the Silver Age, has always had an ongoing series. But they've pulled in things like Firestorm and stuff like that, which was a backup feature. So this has a very solid kind of serial narrative going on, broken into chapters and stuff. And again, one of the earlier ones here dealt with Looker, very different incarnation of Looker, but dealing with almost the vampire aspect that was added to the character later in the run. And I'm curious if moving forward they're going to bring in more and more of the different Outsiders characters.
Well, in terms of just overall structure of the show, there were some definite similarities between season one and season two.
Mm-hmm.
Season one was kind of the discovery and launch of Thunder.
Yes, and this was the same for Lightning.
Yeah. Season one was all about finding the Pod Kids, and season two, in the final episode, we had a scene that was very reminiscent of where we kind of ended season one.
Yeah, both seasons kind of ended of, well, what's going to happen with the Pod Kids?
Well, and it was almost a rediscovery of the Pod Kids because of all the trials and tribulations of the pods.
Absolutely. I mean, don't mistake that for not having made progress in the story, but there's a certain almost circling back on aspects of it as well.
Well, I mean, those poor kids, they stayed in the pods for all these episodes, and yet the pods went from this location to that location, from this custody to that custody to kidnapping to...
I was expecting more of the pod kids this season out of the pods than we really got.
Me too.
Wendy was really one of the few that we got, and there was another one that we got before who got into a pod later and wasn't part of the original batch. And I don't recall that sort of metahuman pod aspect being a big thing from the Outsiders comics, but the whole Dr. Jace stuff was done back in the 80s.
Well, we basically ended up with three pod situations.
There was the Masters of Disasters, the original kind of, you know, experimental ones.
Well, but those were adults.
Adult ex-military, ex-prisoner types.
Right.
There was the kids.
Who were the vaccinations that right. went awry.
And then what was the third group?
Khalil, Wendy, and I can't think of the kid's name.
The kid who could make people tell the truth.
Yeah. They're kind of their own situation because they've been out of the pods, they've lived the current time frame, but now they've ended the season in the pods.
You could argue a second generation pod group, and I took that as the lead ASA agents kind of handpicked group.
Mm-hmm. Well, a combination of handpicked group and a way to either manipulate or blackmail, depending on your perspective, Lynn.
Well, not just Lynn, but the younger daughter.
Yes, Jen. Jennifer.
Yeah, with Khalil and stuff. So there's a lot going on there. I think the whole ASA arc with Lynn having worked with Dr. Jace for a while and stuff, and then that falling apart and all of that whole progression. With Jace presumably getting back to the Markovians at the end, there were a couple of things there, like the teleporter, where they put some stuff out there, but I didn't feel they really tied it off as cleanly as they could have.
The way they put the teleporter out there, I thought he'd been called in by Tobias. As yes. in, Cutter failed, therefore Tobias has called in someone else to pick up the contract.
Well, and this is where we had a gap between watching many of the episodes and then the final two, so I lost a little of the narrative thread there.
There was a little bit of that, but also, for me, this season, the whole ASA thread was poorly handled. And part of it is the ASA, as we were experiencing it this season, felt very different from Gambi's ASA.
Yes.
As it was being kind of reflected to us, if you will, last season. And I get organizational changes over 20 years, etc., but it didn't fit with what I felt I knew.
Yeah, they seem to operate very differently than he does, and it was hard to connect the dots there.
They seemed manipulative in a bad way, as opposed to manipulative in a we will do anything to protect our country way.
Well, it seemed that they were inactive compared to how Gambi, when he was with the ASA, was like recruiting
yes.
these kids.
Well, and the we will weaponize children with no thought to the child, the family, etc., it goes against the idealism I'd like to think goes into the founding of an organization like that. You know what I mean? Gambi seemed to be, I'll do anything for the good of my country, and he was protecting Jefferson, and he was there to protect the kids.
But I think part of why he was protecting Jefferson and his family was a rebellion against what he had done as an ASA agent.
Some of that definitely was based on regrets and stuff, but when he had been picking people, he had thought he was doing the right thing.
Yes. I just never saw any indication that the ASA was trying to get people like Cape Guy there at the end off the streets. If we had seen, if it had just been, you know, over the course of the season, periodically, there'd be some guy with the green light eyes kind of a thing going. A van would come by, grab him, and go.
Yeah.
You know, people are vanishing or whatever. And we find out it's the ASA, and they're actually trying to keep them safe.
Yes.
Okay, I could buy into that.
Yeah. Keep them safe, help them learn to use their powers, giving them a compelling recruitment speech, whether or not it's honest, truthful, and accurate.
Yes.
Which would have fallen in with their manipulative style.
I feel other than Lynn's interaction with the ASA, we never really got to know the organization.
The only way we've gotten to know it is through the vice principal at Jefferson's school.
Yeah.
Who was tagging people through Gambi, through the briefcase.
My point is, we had all season where we've got this head agent and stuff, We see him a couple of times spying on Jefferson's family and stuff, but we never really get to see inside the organization outside of Lynn's interaction working there or him spying on the family.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard for them to be a sympathetic organization. Mm-hmm. And that spin at the end where it's going to play an even bigger next season.
I was hoping we were done with it.
I wasn't expecting us to be done with it because they were going somewhere with it and hadn't gotten there.
Yeah.
But they were going somewhere with Grace and still haven't gotten there.
Very true. Well, they were going somewhere with the new principal at the school. And five or six episodes ago, school faded away.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that they set up, they play out, and then they just vector off.
Yeah.
You know, the whole bit, because they did a definite build-up with Looker and I forget what they called the two groups or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that never came into play again. And it's like, if you've got stuff that can give some people powers over there, there had to be more than just Looker. How come that didn't play in a little later into the season? And even stuff when they were doing some callbacks, like near the end when they brought the original pastor or reverend or whatever, the church back after his coma with the poisoning, we're both like, I guess that's who that is?
Yeah.
But there are enough times where the callbacks they're doing, like again, the assassin, when he first walked in, the teleporter guy, we both thought it was tattooed guy.
Yes.
And part of it was he was far enough back, they looked not a lot alike, but enough in a dark, you know, setting.
Well, exactly. Enough in the setting and the way they did the reveal, which was a low camera angle. Start with the feet. You have kind of that mysterious and ominous entrance.
Here's a guy walking in with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And the last person we saw walking around with a gun was tattooed guy.
Yeah.
You know? So I had a similar problem. I think it was first season of Lois and Clark, where the guy who played Jimmy doesn't look like Dean Cain, but is similar height and dark hair kind of a thing. When you first get to a scene, they're in the background skulking around or whatever. It's like, wait, who is this?
Yeah.
So it's, they had a lot going on here, more than they had room for.
Yes.
And I think that was obvious in the one of these last two episodes when we get Henderson, the cop.
The poor guy.
And you're commenting on, he's not even talking. He's an extra. And another scene, he's not talking, but there's voiceover from other guys. Hey, you know, kind of a thing. I'm like, the guy didn't get a word of dialogue.
Well, and I was teasing you about it mercilessly during the episode, because I was like, this is how you make an actor feel like he's a background player or an extra on his own show. He even had a scene where they had him drive by the rioters and the ravaging of his city, and he didn't even get to pick up the radio and call it in or anything.
I couldn't tell what the point of it was. He wasn't doing anything about it. He wasn't particularly reacting to it.
It was so we could see the rioting was still going on, and he got some screen time because they realized he was getting the short end of the script.
I don't think that helped.
It didn't. It made it more obvious he was getting the short end of the script. The poor guy, I felt horrible for him. I mean, even when he arrested someone, he didn't get to say, book 'em, Dano, or you're under arrest
or anything.
The right
to remain silent or anything.
Yes. The poor guy.
Yeah. The other character they had early on for a couple of episodes was, I think it was Robert Townsend. Townsend's his last name. Robert Charles. I forget. He was the guy who starred in Meteor Man, among other things. He was big in like the 80s or whatever. He played one of the people on the school board.
Yes.
That was trying to help Jefferson get his job back.
Right.
He looked just enough like Henderson and one or two others that when we're getting into a shot and it's like, wait, he knows Jefferson. Who is he again? And I'm just trying to, because there's a lot of characters in this show.
There are. And we'd seen him last season. And basically, when Jefferson didn't stand up and fight for his job, that character fell away.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, if you aren't going to fight for yourself, I'm not going to fight for you. I'm done with you. Which I don't believe is true to the universe, which is why never seeing the character again or having reference to him annoyed me.
But this season had the Pierce family, those four, Gambi, that gets us to five right there.
Mm-hmm.
Add in Tobias, Stiletto, Khalil, the four masters of disaster.
the smart kid in the car.
The smart kid. That gets us to 18 right there.
Yeah.
We haven't even talked about anyone who's on the school board, anyone at the church,
yeah,
or anyone at the clinic or whatever where the older daughter's helping out, mm-hmm, or anyone with Looker and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, or the 100, or, I mean, there's so many characters in this stuff. And some of them are just bit players. You don't really need to know all of them. But they'll put somebody on, like the smart kid or whatever. They'll do a bit, blow them up. Okay, let's move on.
Well, but then they wait two episodes to revisit. Oh, but this guy got blown up, and I think that's relevant.
Yeah, when Gamby was showing the stuff to Jefferson or whatever, I was like, so who's this kid?
Well, and they were showing a picture of him without the glasses.
Without the glasses, which certainly hurt. And that was stuff we saw tonight, whereas the last time we'd seen him get blown up was the last time we watched stuff, which admittedly was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but it was one of those things where he looked different, it was out of context, and it took a while as he's giving enough of the memory jogs.
Well, and we didn't have that kid being seen in the previously on.
Yeah.
And seeing him get blown up.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because about the time that kid met Tobias Whale, I looked at you and asked basically how many episodes till he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was one of those introductions that you knew was going to end in disaster. He thought he was so smart.
Few people who work with Tobias do well.
Well, there's that too. But he was the guy who knew he was the smartest guy in the room, was sure he was the smartest guy in the room, and forgot that just because you're the smartest guy in the room doesn't mean the homicidal maniac will let you live.
Yeah, being the smartest doesn't ensure survival. And that's what I thought was interesting when Dr. Jace was talking to Tobias, and she's like, I'm the smartest one in the room kind of a thing. It's not an insult, it's a fact. But then she goes on to say, but what I respect about you is your genius at survival.
Yes.
You know, I may be smarter than you, but you have skills I respect and want to leverage.
Yeah.
So I expect Jace to be an ongoing concern next season, because yes, Markovia is going to be a big thing.
With the way that they ended the final episode, there was an aspect of, we're going to kill 2 or 3 minutes. We're going to make you feel like we were worried the show got canceled.
Kind of an epilogue, happily ever after sort of a moment.
Yeah.
But then do a 30 second, actually a little more than that, but a last. There was a point at which you could cut it and they could have ended the show clean.
Yeah.
But then they go another minute or whatever and basically set up aspects of next season.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Jefferson starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, basically, why are you crying? And I looked at you and I said, he's afraid the show's canceled.
It reminded me of the season of Arrow that ended with almost the happily ever after out in the suburbs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the driving off into the sunset and yeah.
That Arrow's had at least twice they've kind of done the we could end here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you there are a number of shows that do this. You just chop the last, you know, few seconds or minute off or whatever and you get a cleaner ending.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with them shooting that extra minute and airing it when they know they've got the next season, but not airing it when they don't know they've got the next season.
Yeah.
I've had a number of shows where, dude, you end on a cliffhanger and it's like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
There were a couple of places where I thought the effects were really good. A few places they could have done better. The water power for New Wave I thought was bad.
So did I.
I'm trying to think of any other particular moment that I thought was either really great or really bad.
And I didn't think the mud from her wire power worked out very well.
No, it didn't make sense to me. Her powers were ill-defined.
Her water created dirt that turned into almost insta-concrete.
Yeah. Of course, I couldn't figure out how Shakedown's power could, like, keep somebody trapped or whatever in motion.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or stop one of Stiletto's blades midair and have it float there. So it didn't work the way I thought it should work. But again, I also haven't really read much with the Masters of Disaster in the comics since those comics came out.
I did like the look of Stiletto. The hair was interesting.
She might have been one of the characters from the Black Lightning comics themselves. I know Cyanide was, obviously Tobias and stuff like that, and Gamby. What's also funny about Gamby, and I don't know if I mentioned this when we did the first season or not, is there is another Gamby who is also a tailor in Central City in the comics that not only, I think, originally might have helped the Flash get his costume, but certainly helped, like, all the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that was kind of a nod to the, the characters in the comics and stuff. Whether they'll have a connection here, I don't know.
He's doing good with the costumes.
He's doing good. It's a good role for James Remar. I've seen him in other stuff. I was happy to see him get this. And they've done it well. There have been a few times where, okay, he's a little on the outs or he's faking his death or whatever.
Mm.
But he adds a lot.
Well, the faking his death was actually really interesting in terms of how the various characters dealt with the grief.
Mm-hmm.
And Jefferson's denial was fascinating in terms of no body, no death.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Gamby.
Well, there's also a certain know the genre.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
And let's face it, in this show, even if you see the body, there's no death with, like, Tattooed Man and one or two others.
True.
He being the main example. So, I don't know if we're going to get Tobias next season. I'm kind of hoping not.
He's in prison. He's at least out of play for a little while. But part of me wonders, I mean, they implied he was in solitary confinement with the way they kind of did the laser lockdown as they walked away from him. But part of me wonders if he isn't going to just kind of build more of his criminal...
I think he'll come back in the show. I just don't think it'll be next season.
I guess my point is I think he's going to use the time while he's in the pit to gather more rogues, if you will.
Absolutely. He'll network. He'll get a power base. And if we see him the season after or the season after that, at some point we may get an episode flashing back to his time here.
Yeah.
And how he built that up.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you thought you got rid of me. You made a mistake. I'm even more of a danger to you now because of.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm wondering if we're going to get Geoforce next season. Markovian stuff. Almost have to, I would think. Another Markovian was Terra, who was with the New Teen Titans. Doubt we'll get her.
Well, they said that Freeland was going to be, what, the Ground Zero?
Ground Zero for the Markovia War.
Yeah. So it sounds like they plan to have the action stay in Freeland, but it will be a Markovia storyline.
Bring Markovias in, yeah. I'm just trying to go through the other outsiders.
Well, I was just wondering, based on the way that agent pitched it, it's kind of a... Because he practically or definitely, I forget which, said, I'm deputizing you.
He said that, and basically, we've got enough metahumans here, they're going to come poach.
Yeah.
By force. They're sitting on a large thing there, so going there seemed a little insane. But we may end up in Markovia at some point.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering. It sounded doubtful, but...
Other outsiders like Metamorpho, we've gotten teased of bits and pieces of that over in, I think, Flash or whatever. Doubt we'll get that character, but could. He just seems like too major of a one to bring in, but could be fun. Katana, we've actually already gotten over in Arrow.
That's what I was thinking.
And then Halo would be the other one. Doesn't really fit the way they're doing the show. But from later outsiders, Grace is one of them. Arsenal is over in Arrow. I'm trying to think of some of the others. There's a few they might be able to bring in. It just depends kind of where they want to go and how far afield from those comics, and do they start branching out into other places?
Because
we've seen some cases where they'll start reaching into neighboring kind of franchises, if you will. And with the outsiders, there's a few that are kind of connected to it, Titans being one of them. But Titans is sort of tangentially connected to almost everything they're doing in the Arrowverse, or in some way, shape, or form.
Makes sense.
They toned down the season, the music.
Yeah.
It was very, for lack of a better term, ethnic before.
Yeah.
Now, it still got that, but not as I don't say overpoweringly so.
It had more mass appeal.
Yeah.
Even while having that decidedly ethnic flavor, it was more of the mass appeal version.
It was something that could act to expand people's taste in music.
Yes.
Versus radically force a change on them.
Yes. There were one or two songs in these final episodes that were like 70s throwback music.
Yeah, there was definitely one where it's like, geez, we just hit the 70s.
Yeah.
And I get it, because that was an era of the black exploitation films and stuff like that. So from a cultural reference point, it makes sense. But...
See, I was wondering, are they going for that? Are they doing that because we've got the pod kids who are lost in time? What are they...
That's a possibility, too. I took it more of that era of film and stuff. but multiple interpretations. Not saying I'm right.
It was definitely a wake up and pay attention music cue in terms of it was so different from all the other music.
Well, in the 70s music with that upbeat tempo, sometimes the horns and stuff like that, if you ever are flipping channels and bounce against a rerun of Charlie's Angels or Wonder Woman or some other show from that era,
mm-hmm.
it's got a distinctive sound.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with it. It's got some great stuff. But in today's TV, it gets noticed.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it to me, it didn't bounce me out of the story or anything. But that was definitely a stylistic choice they made. I'm trying to think where this show is going to evolve into, because we're two seasons in and really have not gotten any solid connection to any of the other CW shows.
No.
There's the occasional reference to a Batman type or whatever, specifically Batman, Supergirl, and one or two other Superman type stuff in terms of either shirts or name dropping or whatever. But in terms of there's an awareness of the character, but not to say that the character is real.
Yeah.
You know, just like we could say, oh, it's like Batman or whatever. It doesn't mean Gotham exists and Batman's real.
Well, and I don't think we've gotten a real idea of, in terms of the multiverse, what Earth this is on.
No, it is implied it's a different Earth, but it's not clearly stated. And I'm wondering, I expect this to be established to be on a different Earth than Arrowverse, Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, etc. Probably a different Earth from, I was going to say Batwoman, but that's, they blurred the line on that with the Elseworlds crossover. We know they're going to be doing a Crisis on Infinite Earths. They teased that at the Elseworlds one. I expect there's a good probability they're going to collapse things down to a single Earth, and that opens up some different story possibilities and stuff. Much like how the Flashpoint thing had reworked a few things over in Arrow and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I think with any show, you get down to a point where it's like, man, if I had that to do over, and there are certain opportunities in this narrative universe that you could.
Yeah.
So it'd be fun to see some of these characters interact with the others. There's an aspect of kicking them off on their own Earth that does have advantages.
I guess the only thing that just popped into my head with the whole Crisis thought is if we came out of Crisis and Diggle came to Freeland, because he's come from such a different experience, probably a different Earth, but definitely different environment.
Well, particularly if he brings Mr. Terrific with him. Because he's such a head in the clouds. He's black, man. He's not this Freeland, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's some fun stuff they could do. It would be, again, I want to see some of the character interactions and stuff.
Yeah.
But they've done a good job of establishing Freeland and its society, its culture, its ramifications. I'm looking forward to them expanding that into Markovia and getting a little bit broader scope. And there's a point at which putting everything on the same world cheapens things, because we've had some stuff earlier on where Flash zipped through into Arrow, did a quick thing and ran off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I guess they wrote themselves into a corner or whatever. It's, you know.
Yeah.
So whenever you've got that kind of a shared universe, there's always the, well, how come this guy didn't get impacted by this, or why couldn't they just call this guy for help?
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see where they go. I'm enjoying this show. It's a different flavor than the others,
mm-hmm.
and probably one of the more unique of all the CW shows.
Yeah.
They did a good job establishing its identity to where it doesn't just seem like, oh, it's another like Flash or, you know, Supergirl or Legends or whatever.
Well, so many of the shows have family in the metaphorical sense. The team is the family. This is a genuine family show.
Well, and also the way they bring, you know, Gambi in to that family, but he's still on the outside of that family. There's,
mm-hmm.
it's got, I think, because of that, a different nature than the other shows. Even though Flash is very much centered around, you know, that physical family and stuff.
Yeah.
And even Supergirl has a bit of a family aspect to it with the two sisters, but it's still the metaphorical family, not the blood relation kind of family. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to play with that in either direction, either by expanding it to a more metaphorical one with the pod kids, or go in some other direction.
Well, and I'll be curious what they do with Jefferson professionally.
Yeah, the fact that the school thing just kind of fell by the wayside and whatnot was disappointing. Matter of fact, I don't even know if Gamby's shop ever reopened after his presumed death. Those are the plot lines that it kind of doesn't matter that they don't touch on, but does get a little annoying when you realize there's a few of them.
He stayed mostly presumed dead. I mean, a few people caught on he wasn't, but he stayed mostly presumed dead.
But I think if we were to go back through the season and just say, okay, here's a plot line that just fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, the clinic that the older daughter was working at, the school never seen again. This isn't. And it's not that they've got to keep revisiting things and keep it all in play, but when you get to where there's enough of these.
But they fall by the wayside as opposed to being tied off.
Yes. It feels like they've just forgot about it or got bored with it. And it makes me feel, should I really get invested in what they're doing with the 100 or what they're doing with this or what they're doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't seem to care.
Yes.
That's the part that gets a little frustrating. It's a fun show. I think it was a good addition to the mix and stuff.
Definitely.
And we're two seasons in. I'm curious how far they can make this go. This is one that I think after about 5, you start to run a little thin. Part of that is Black Lightning's just a bit older. It's going to be a role that gets a little harder and harder.
I think having Thunder and Lightning gives it the youth and the rejuvenation. I think it's fascinating because so many shows say, basically, you can't have the married couple. Nobody tunes in for the married couple. And they started with the divorced couple. And basically, the divorce happened because he's Black Lightning.
Well, the funny thing is, they're back together, but they're not remarried.
Exactly. And they're trying to find the balance of how to co-parent, how to deal with his being Black Lightning. And they're now, because of their children mostly, but they're trying to heal their relationship.
I think all of the 5 key characters went through a good arc over the season in terms of a personal journey, in terms of how the family's operating and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a better job on that with this show than really any of the other CW shows.
I would agree with that.
So, and that's, I think, goes back to that family aspect and what makes this a bit more unique and a bit different. And they also lean a little heavier into the serial narrative. There's the threat of the week, but not like how it was at one point on Flash, where it's literally the metahuman of the week.
Yes.
You know, maybe there's some plot threads that go through the season, the big bad or whatever, but that's secondary. Here it's primary.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking would be fun for them to do in Crisis, if they could get all the different people and stuff. I also think having Martian Manhunter and Guardian teaming up with them.
Yes.
And then I'm trying to think who would be the, I don't say the whitest characters, but the most non-Freeland appropriate, if you will. Who would be the biggest fish out of water there other than like Brainy over from Supergirl?
Brainy's a good choice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. And to me, part of it is the aliens, if you will, both Brainy and Supergirl, because it's such a different environment.
Yeah, yeah. So again, fun stuff. Took us a little while to get through it, just because there's so much to watch. But looking forward to where they go. Would have been nice if they hadn't put such a clear trajectory on it at the end of the season, but I get why they did. Hopefully we'll start getting more of the Pod Kids and introduce a few other characters, and maybe they can pull some interesting ones out of the DC mythos.
Yeah.
That are maybe not the obvious go-to ones, but I could see Onyx and a few others that are just, you could do a riff on that character in the show pretty well, even if it's not a well-known or well-established character in the comics.
Cool. So,
anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.